Scare Stories, Reassessing America's Most Popular Writer, by Stephen Spignesi. Because of his immense popularity, King has earned the ire of literary elitists the world over. While popularity doesn't necessarily equal greatness, one of the many wonders of democracy is that every once in a while, the masses get it right. King's genius can be found in many places, particularly in his ability to take the metaphorical and make it literal. It's a literary device that, in our time, only Franz Kafka and Dr. Seuss managed to pull off so well. Just this once, the Academy, awarding the Nobel Prize, should bestow the award upon someone people actually read. Andrew Irvin, Nobel oblige. He was a major writer for me as a kid, and as an adolescent. I was thrilled every time a Stephen King book came out. I'd spend pocket money on hardbacks. Man, they were the first hardbacks that I demanded my parents get for me. I remember buying It and thinking it was the most epic horror novel, that it was the Ulysses of horror. Bret Easton Ellis, author, American Psycho. Time continues to prove that his books are far more than pop cultural phenomenons. He is increasingly and deservedly respected as one of the greatest authors this country will ever produce. J.J. Abrams. Most of the old critics who panned anything I wrote are either dead or retired. Stephen King. Consider this. And surrounding everything like an auditory edging of lace, the soothing, silky hiss of lawn sprinklers. Is that not beautiful phrasing? It's from The Regulators. I'm certain it didn't come easy. Just the auditory edging of lace construction had to have taken some time to craft into that perfect expression. And the alliteration, surrounding, soothing, silky, hiss, sprinklers, it's just perfect, isn't it? This took time and skill to write. Or how about this? Romantics compare the cycle of the seasons to the cycle of human life, a comparison I never really trusted. And yet now I find something in it, after all. Sooner or later, life takes in its breath, pauses, and then tilts towards winter. I sense that tilt approaching. When the idea threatens to become oppressive, I think of the woods in New England tilting into winter. How you can see the whole expanse of the lake, not just the occasional wink through the trees, and hear every movement on the land that slopes down to the water. You can hear every living thing, no matter how cunning, before snow comes to muffle the world. Or this. I have stridden the fuming way of sun-hammered tracks and smashed cinders. I have ridden rails and bummed sterno in the gantry silence of hobo jungles. I am a dark man. This is fine writing, evocative, well-crafted, powerful. But what would you have thought if I had told you before you read them that the author of these passages was Stephen King? In all likelihood, you would have been surprised, and you would have likely admitted that your positive reaction to the passages was unexpected. Why? Because Stephen King's a horror writer, after all. He writes that stuff. You know, stories about possessed dogs and murderous vampires and haunted cars, and dead cats coming back to life, and clown monsters that live in sewers, and fans who chop off the feet of the writer they love. And if my references are not recognizable, I just alluded to Cujo, Salem's Lot, Christine, Pet Sematary, It, and Misery. How could a guy who writes stuff like that craft the engaging, lyrical passages that you just read? The truth is this. The perception that Stephen King is only a horror writer is a myth, or, more accurately, a misperception. And, as is often the case over the past few decades, we can blame popular culture for that, specifically the plethora of movie adaptations of King's stories. King himself has told a story more than once in which a fan recognizes him, comes up to him and says, "You're Stephen King. I love your movies." For a while, I believe he made a point of telling these folks that he was a writer first and foremost, and that those movies came from his books. Oftentimes, though, the profound meaning of that would fly right over their heads. King has also been telling an ironic story recently about an incident in a grocery store in Florida. A woman recognized him and said, "You're Stephen King. I can't stand your books," or something along those lines. King says he then asked the woman if she had seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption. Her face lit up and she replied, "Oh yes, I love that movie." He then flipped over his whole card and said, "I wrote that story." She glared at him, said, "No, you didn't," and walked away. This is the problem in a nutshell. King is too often perceived as a horror movie maker, period. Sure, his real fans know he writes novels and short story collections as his main artistic focus, but people really don't read all that much these days. In fact, books are at the bottom of the entertainment pyramid, with movies, TV, music, and sports viewing above them. I've been writing about Stephen King for going on 30 years now. My first book about him was The Complete Stephen King Encyclopedia. I followed that with The Lost Work of Stephen King and The Essential Stephen King. As a practitioner in residence at the University of New Haven, I taught King's work in a course called The New Gothic Horror of Stephen King. We read King's nonfiction book On Writing, several of his short stories, and his novel The Shining, but I also introduced my students to his nonfiction essays, poetry, book reviews, and even a one-act play he wrote, An Evening at God's, which we actually performed in class. I've written about many other topics, but my King work sometimes garners particular responses from people. I don't like that horror stuff, or how can he write that gory stuff, or his movies are too much for me. When I bring up his non-horror writings, these self-appointed and mistaken critics are almost always open to the idea that he writes more than just horror. But in every case, they are completely surprised and commonly react with, "I had no idea." For almost 3 decades now, I have introduced students and ordinary readers to my thesis that King is so much more than a pulp fiction writer by stating, with confidence, that Stephen King is the Charles Dickens and Edgar Allan Poe of our time, and by proclaiming, with certainty, that his best work will survive the next 100 years. Dr. Michael Collings, a dear friend, superb writer, fellow academic, and Stephen King authority, and contributor to this book, once told me something that has stayed with me, and that I've returned to many times over the years. William Shakespeare was the Stephen King of his time. That assessment can elicit a sea-change shift in someone's perception of King and his role in modern letters as an American writer. Sometimes, an artist's popularity is toxic to his reputation. The thinking goes, anyone who's that popular can't be good. And in many cases, this is true. There's no denying that lowest common denominator marketing can often result in a less-than-high-caliber product. But then, if we extend that reasoning to anything enormously popular, the Beatles should be dismissed as junk, Andy Warhol should be ignored as a one-trick pony, and Michael Jackson should be tossed aside as a flavor of the month with no acknowledgement of the groundbreaking influence he had on popular music, music videos, fashion, and more. And certainly, no one should ever go see Cats, or Hamilton for that matter. The cultured class seems to accept that popularity can equal greatness when it comes to other forms of art, yet some will glance askew at books that sell millions of copies and think, junk. Oftentimes, this way of thinking is just plain wrong, especially in the case of the works of Stephen King. Emily Dickinson's genius was largely unrecognized until after her death. She sold only 8 poems during her life. Vincent van Gogh was unable to support himself with his art and died broke, a suicide. Sometimes artistic quality and longevity is unrecognized during an artist's lifetime. Yet consider this, Stephen King is unique. He is probably the only living writer who has achieved the trinity of success, popular, academic, and collector. Most highly successful writers are very popular, but their work is not taught or collected. King's work hits the bestseller lists. Some of it is taught at high school and college levels, and much of it is passionately collected by fans in signed, limited editions, often of books they already own. I know one King fan who has 5 different editions of Salem's Lot. King is, of course, a master storyteller. But in addition to being able to weave a narrative spell over the reader, he also has keen insight into the human psyche, the monsters within, as he's described it. He knows modern man and modern woman with all their glories and failings, and as Woody Allen puts it, their quirks and mannerisms. Is King a literary writer? First of all, what precisely is a literary writer? And who decides what's literature and what is something else? When Stephen King won an O. Henry Award for his Hawthorne-inspired short story, The Man in the Black Suit, we nodded our heads and said, of course, King's short stories are outstanding. When Stephen King was awarded the National Book Award for his Distinguished Contribution to American Letters, many of us who had been touting the merits of King's writings for decades felt vindicated. When President Barack Obama awarded Stephen King the National Medal of Arts in 2015, many of us knew it was warranted, and we posted the picture of King with the president on our Facebook pages. When King was awarded the 2018 Pen Award, fans nodded in approval. And when a new Stephen King short story appeared in the esteemed magazine The New Yorker, King aficionados weren't surprised. The difficulty many people have juxtaposing King's work with the concept of literature can be summed up in one word, genre. Much of King's mainstream work, novels, short story collections, can be considered genre fiction, or actually multiple genre fiction. He writes horror, but he also writes science fiction, westerns, thrillers, suspense, and fantasy. That's a given. But he also tackles, even in his familiar titles, It, The Shining, The Stand, The Dead Zone, heavy socio-cultural topics and themes, including domestic abuse, depression, addiction, childhood trauma, marital discord, mental illness, toxic guilt, and much more. When Jonathan Franzen published The Corrections in 2001 with its complex time and place narrative shifts, it was widely praised for its genius. When King did a similar thing 15 years earlier in 1986 in It, which I ranked as his magnum opus in The Essential Stephen King, the comments focused on the fact that all the major monsters appeared, some for the last time in King's fiction. The excellence of the writing, including the sheer brilliance of the metaphor, childhood trauma that manifested a cyclical supernatural monster, was oftentimes dismissed or ignored because It was, after all, a horror novel, and King was, after all, a horror writer. And consider this. Undeniably literary writer David Foster Wallace, author of the book everyone owns but many have not read yet, Infinite Jest, taught King's novel Carrie in his English 102 Literary Analysis 1 prose fiction class at Pomona College. His margin notes in the King paperback are available online. Isn't that interesting? And it begs the question, if Stephen King is not literature, then why did America's leading literary writer, the late David Foster Wallace, teach King to his writing students? If anyone might have an understanding of literature, one would assume it would be Wallace, yes? So, is what Stephen King writes literature? Yes. Granted, some of his novels are just down-and-dirty thrillers or horror stories, writing that isn't often considered within the classic context of serious literature. Let's just play along and pretend that that distinction makes sense, and that's absolutely fine. But keep in mind that if anything classified as horror were eliminated from, let's say, school curricula, authors on the chopping block would include Edgar Allan Poe, William Faulkner, Henry James, Joyce Carol Oates, Bram Stoker, and, of course, William Shakespeare. But not all of King's stories and novels are roller coaster rides. Some are naturalistic, nuanced, insightful stories that highlight the glories and nightmares of the human condition. Take, for example, his story Premium Harmony, which first appeared in the November 9, 2009 issue of The New Yorker. It begins. They've been married for 10 years, and for a long time everything was okay, swell, but now they argue. Now they argue quite a lot. It's really all the same argument. It has circularity. It is, Ray thinks, like a dog track. When they argue, they're like greyhounds chasing the mechanical rabbit. You go past the same scenery time after time, but you don't see it. You see the rabbit. Premium Harmony is about the deterioration of a marriage, and it asks the questions, what if you hated your wife, and she just up and died? Ray's wife dies in the ignominious location of a gas station convenience store. She has a heart attack, and, as the EMT tells Ray, she didn't die unattended. This was in response to a discussion by onlookers about whether or not they were going to have to do an autopsy on her. Real people, in real place, faced with a real tragedy, who have lives to get on with, and a clerk who is probably hoping they get the body out of there quickly so it doesn't block access to the cash register. And all of it witnessed by the grieving spouse who only cries when he opens the car door and realizes his dog Jack has died from the heat in the closed car. There's a reason King is published in The New Yorker, Tin House, The Atlantic, Granta, Esquire, Harper's Magazine, The Virginia Quarterly Review, Playboy, McSweeney's, The Paris Review, and Antaeus. Stephen King is talented and prolific. He also has, perhaps, a once-in-a-generation imagination. He creates extraordinarily memorable characters and inserts them into horrifying, heart-wrenching, often tragic situations and circumstances, and then tells us what they're feeling, flawlessly illustrating what they're going through. Stephen King writes, for all his haunted cars and gruesome deaths, about the human condition. In other words, he writes literature.